go. You have everybody here.
Everybody present and accounted for? All right. I'll call the order to order the regular finance committee, City of San Ramon, Monday, October 23rd. See any public here desirous of commenting? So go to approval of the minutes.
I move approval.
So be it. Unfinished business, we have none. 5.1, Northwest San Ramon Geologic Hazard Abatement District Draft Engineers Report. Robin.
Hey, good afternoon. I have with me Eric Howell from NGO, who helped also work on the putting together of the GAD as a whole. So this is kind of a preliminary step in the next step of formation of the GADs. Once the GADs formed, we need to go through the 218 process and have an engineer's report in support of the assessment. So this is a preliminary look at that. So first of all, I wanted to point out on the staff report, there is a discrepancy here. We were working through some of the numbers late, and the front page of it refers to a $1,389 per unit assessment. And the key number to look at is what's in the engineer's report of a $1,428 per unit assessment. So things went up slightly as we looked into some of the details. So the gist of this is that we've looked through the various costs and done a detailed breakdown of all the things that the GAD is anticipated to maintain come up with estimated costs for all of those items. And I won't go through every item, but the key thing that is different from the GAD that you're familiar with seeing all the numbers on were costs related to maintenance of some storm drain facilities.
That big pipe? Well, pipe along us?
The big pipe are one of those elements, and the other is the clean water facilities that are going to be within FURIA, the C3 stormwater quality devices. But of that impacting the reserves, I think the bigger and more unusual feature is looking at the storm drain pipe, which was a major concern. So there's costs in there for monitoring and then repairing that pipe. Where that becomes a little bit unusual is that kind of pipe is expected to have a 150-year life. So we're really projecting far out into the future using the numbers that we have currently, whereas I would expect technology to evolve substantially. And I would also expect that by being able to monitor this pipe and having monitoring costs built into the process, that we'll be able to act in a more reasonable fashion than we do with the rest of our storm drain system.
Yeah, like the ones under Crow Canyon Road that cost more than $1 million to fix for a fraction of the distance. Or even, is it on this order the same diameter?
No, it's the ones under Crow Canyon Road were almost 3 times the diameter.
Okay. But they're a fraction of the distance.
Yeah. The technologies used to fix it would be completely different even now. But I would expect fixing these things will probably be some kind of a spray-on, even now that's being used, spray-on concrete.
Okay.
So that's the one item. So that is part of what's reflected in building up the reserve. The other that we've discussed already is the $1 million reserve that was, in this case, based on a 20-year return period as opposed to the 10-year return period we're using in the Doherty Valley. But the comparisons are really made by looking at the Canyon Lakes, or the North Canyon Estates performance, which has been good, and also, again, just looking at the huge differences in the area under control of the Doherty Valley GAD compared to this. So,
how does this area compare to the size of the Wiedemann Ranch, North Canyon Estates GAD? What's the area of that one compared to this one?
North Canyon Estates is, they're not too much different in size, open space, residential open space interface. So comparable.
Okay.
So another thing that's different in the assessment methodology is this is not uniform. So the assessment methodology here is based on a single family home in neighborhood one, which is one unit of assessment. And then the smaller, the single family homes on smaller lots would be 0.7, cluster homes 0.6, townhomes 0.5, we call it flats, mm-hmm. 0.45. And then we're using a placeholder number for neighborhood five, which was single family homes 0.7 assessment units.
That's based upon the density?
Yes, so that's the number of, it's, the lot area is really what's okay. governing this. So, of course, we're cognizant that neighborhood five is not cast in stone, but we think what we're using here is the lowest possible assessment. So we could end up with
the lowest number of units or the lowest possible assessment?
The combination. So if you built, if you use this assessment methodology and you put in a larger number of units, the combination of the assessment methodology with the number of units, this should give you the lower number of
so
actual
if they,
dollars assessed.
So if they build fewer units, then the assessment has to go up to recover the same amount of money to manage this. Because the management of the area doesn't change based upon the number of units.
That's right.
Your budget doesn't change because you build one unit, you build for 800 units. The management of the area doesn't change.
Correct. So what we've looked here is they had floated, 72 units?
Right.
And that's far below the number of units that they're authorized.
Right. So and is this based upon 72 units? This 14...
Yes.
20-something is based on 72 units? So in theory, if they build the 180 units, the assessment would go down because you've added units.
We would
units.
Not levy the full assessment that we'd be able to levy.
Okay.
So that you would end up with a gap between what you actually
We done. May not know that for more than a year or two.
Yeah.
Depending on when Claremont Homes gets around to deciding what they're going to do there.
So it would effectively become a factor of safety because you would have a gap between
okay.
what you levy and what you could levy.
Okay.
So, and we talked about the turnover period where we are anticipating having $1 million in the reserve prior to the turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And
the worst possible scenario, if you had $2 million years within a very short time of each other, how do you recover, how do you have enough money then to fix it the second time? It happens in a 3-year period. You spent your million. You've only recovered back up to a reserve of a couple hundred thousand. So you're 700,000 short. Now what?
If it happened in very early on.
No, after we've taken control.
After we've taken control, but very early on.
Right.
Then it would the million first $1 million would effectively wipe out the reserve, and then you would be left with nothing. So then you would likely borrow against your ability to do future assessments.
Okay. And there are sources to borrow from?
Yes. The okay. sources to borrow from would likely be a line of credit, which has already been explored and set up to the Association of GADs to allow them to do that kind of thing. There are other alternatives, but they become more complex. I mean, theoretically, you could bond against this, but then you're doing a lot of work for a relatively small amount of money.
Okay.
If, of course, such a thing happens further on, this GAD will be a little unusual in that it's building up reserves to deal with things like pipeline replacements that aren't expected to happen for a very long period of time. So there may be other additional reserves available mm-hmm. for short-term events.
What do you anticipate the target reserves are? So with the Dougherty Valley GAD, we had, what, $8 to $10 million is our target reserves. And so we've structured our collections so that eventually we get there, what, in about another, what, 5-6 years, is that right?
Well, we didn't look at a long-term target per se and lay that out, but again, the idea was to be able to cover all of those costs
mm-hmm.
that are laid out in the in the analysis in addition to that $1 million hit. Mm-hmm. So the target reserve, the ongoing reserve becomes fairly large, and we project that by, we've got here 2026, $2.7 million. So I think the target is to really check how you're doing relative to actual costs.
You mentioned specifically in the report the target of in the Wiedemann Ranch GAD is, let's see, they have accumulated reserves of approximately $4.1 million, which is 50% above the reserves projected. So that assumes that their projected reserves are on the order of about $2.5 million, and they're at $4.1 now. So your projected reserves, somebody's projected reserves goal for them. We've done it for the Dougherty Valley GAD. I would like to know where is that number.
Yeah, we can do that. That we'll put that in for the city council report. It's a little bit different thought process on this because the other thing that differs between this and Dougherty Valley is we're not looking to build a reserve as a kind of endowment the way the Dougherty Valley has. Once this assessment is put in place, it will include an inflator on that ceiling. So we will continue, the assessment cap will continuously grow and cover this, whereas in the Dougherty Valley, we need to build a reserve that's large enough for us to live on it, assuming that the return on investment will become a ever-increasing portion of what that GAD needs to operate, because we will stay capped on the assessment.
Right.
So that there's still a reserve that we need to do all of our long-term goals so we can give you that number, but it will mean slightly different thing from the other.
Can I comment just a little bit, since I have been involved with the Wiedemann Ranch GAD? What you're seeing is when we talk about 50% above the target reserve each year under the pro forma budget, there's a target cumulative reserve. And so that's where we are currently on the Wiedemann Ranch GAD. So like the pro forma budget there has the cumulative, what the balance should be at the end of each fiscal year. And we're ahead of that by the approximately $2 million. The long-term reserve, there is a long-term reserve calculation.
You're ahead by $2 million? They said 50%.
What would I have there?
50% would be
2.5%. Yeah, almost 50%.
Is it 50%? Or?
Yeah, sorry, I misquoted on that. So we have about three. We should have about three right now, and we have four.
Well, that would be a 33%.
I'm sorry, yeah. We're going to have to calculate. I can put the numbers together, but yes, there's a 50% over this anticipated when we did the performance budget in 2001 for the GAD. Mm-hmm. So we have about a 16-year history right now looking at something in similar geology, similar housing type, and everything like that. So that's why it was included in here.
As a member of the board for this district, I know I wouldn't feel comfortable with a target reserve, certainly less than two times the maximum event. You'd want to be able to take care of the maximum event this year and then a maximum event in the not-too-distant future, that it happens, instead of spread over 20 years, it only happens spread over 4 years. But because these things are not timed, they're random. But I know probability would tell you it's going to happen once over 20 years, but it might happen 3 years apart.
And as long as we have a long history in this valley, as long as we pick the reoccurrence interval correctly over that, we have five events approximately over the 100-year period.
Right.
The finances work out, whether you front-load them or you load them later on down the line. For Norris Canyon Estates and the Wiedemann Ranch GAD, they haven't had a large event yet.
Right.
We're getting close to 20 years into the project. So those are...
That still doesn't mean you're not going to have two events...
Sure,
in close proximity.
But that's not the point. The point is that there's a stream of money to deal with the event, whether they happen 2 years apart or whether they happen 40 years apart, because you don't have to keep on coming back for these reassessments like you do in Doherty, correct? Because there's an automatic escalator in the thing.
Correct.
So you can say, I have a predictable stream that I can borrow against, so you don't have to deal with that issue of getting big reserves, because you have a slightly different funding formula that deals with it much more like an insurance, like an annuity.
Yeah, that I understand. I just, the thought of draining the reserves and then having to go to the line of credit is not a preferred option for me. I'm not sure they have it.
And I think it might be helpful to attach a graph showing the increase in the reserve as it would, because we have that other long-term feature here for looking to replace storm drain pipes, which is still something you need to build a reserve for, but it helps with the cash flow so that you're not necessarily running around dealing with, you're borrowing from yourself at that point.
Is there anything else you need from us on this item?
And it sounded like you also would like some explanation on the return on investment.
Yeah, yeah. you got a 4.5% return on investment.
That's a valid question.
Kind of wondering, where are we going to get that?
Yeah.
Is that an NGO offering?
What we're looking at there is the return, the real rate of return of 1.5%, whether we plug into the model 1.5 and 2.5, that difference is the part that really makes the difference over time and makes the model work exactly the same, whether you have 2% inflation rate and 3.5% rate of return or a 1% inflation. We're trying to look at this, since we have improvements that have 150-year lifespan and this goes on in perpetuity, we're trying to look over the historical long-term approximate inflation rates and real rates of return of 1.5% is what we're looking at. That's the important factor.
So that's it. Real rate of return
is 1.5%. Because you're subtracting out if we put it in there, 1% inflation and 2.5%, it would model exactly the same.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So that, again, we looked over a couple of decades now. If you look at a lesser distance, I don't think we're even achieving 1.5% over inflation. So it's that long-term look. But I don't know if you need more information on that.
No.
I'm okay with it.
Good. Forward it to the council for approval.
All right. 5.2, Capital Improvement Program. Amy.
Before you is the annual accounting report of completed CIP projects during the fiscal year 16-17. Since May of 2005, at the request of council, staff has been providing an annual accounting of projects that were completed to show the actual budget costs versus the project budget, to give a comparative analysis. So during fiscal year 16-17, there were 13 projects that were completed. Of the 61 projects, 13 other projects of the 61 are routine maintenance projects, so they continue on, so we don't actually complete them. And then 5 projects were deferred or reprogrammed for future years. The 13 projects, total project combined, was a little over $21,974,000. We completed those 13 projects at an actual cost of $20,238,000.
Okay, stop right there. On the very top one, 5595, we have a projected budget of 459. Mm-hmm. Does that actually show up in the totals at the bottom?
Yeah, that's why there's a difference. And I wrote it in there that the savings is 1.277.
Okay, but that projected budget, if I were to sum that column, it would not include the 459.
It does.
It does include it.
The actual project budget does include it, but the cost, the actual project cost and the savings does not get included. And that's why I said the total actual savings is $1,277,000, which is actually excluding CIP 5595.
Oh, I see.
Because no funds were expended and there were no savings. So it actually shows that's why it's not applicable, so it's not in the formula.
Okay.
So if you actually try to subtract, it'll come up with a different number, and that's why it's written in there. But the project was actually
it's completed, budgeted, I understand.
So that's so the largest savings from the projects was for pavement management 2016 CIP 5543, which had a savings of a little over $185,000, which was returned back to Measure J and reprogrammed for the.
It stayed in house though. It didn't get sent back to the.
No, no, this was all Measure J and.
Measure J, but in house.
Yeah, gas tax and Measure J. So we refunded back to Measure J, and then it was reprogrammed and allocated to our current pavement management project.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little ambiguous to us when it says returned back to source.
Oh, I see. What you're saying.
Yeah, it reads like it went all the way back to county, you know, CCTA.
No.
It stayed in-house, but it's allocated under that category.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
I make sure that we don't give money back to...
Right.
Yeah.
But that line is a little ambiguous the way it's written.
We'll rewrite that for the next time.
Okay.
And a sidewalk repairs project 5523 had a savings of a little over $39,000, and that went back to gas tax to get reprogrammed again to the current active pavement management project, CIP 5553. The citywide drainage project infrastructure is broken into several smaller projects. So on the attachment A, it shows savings of $1.1 million, but it actually isn't because it just it's a cumulative project, so little smaller projects are handled. So it's not really a savings in that project. It's just rolled into other projects that he's doing, like the phase two of Crow Canyon, etc. The City Hall project, CIP 9005, went over budget by a little over $207,000, and that was just for additional costs for the chamber and other miscellaneous improvements. This project was completed by Sunset Development at a cost of $15,341,000, and the remaining costs were by city funds and PEC funds. So attachment, and then there's a table that shows by year the cumulative projects completed. And attachment A has the individual details of the projects that were completed. So I can go over those if you'd like, or answer any questions you may have specifically related to these. And then attachment B is a report that council requested that we provide all CIP projects that are in the CIP that have had funding, whether they're active or not, but what their actual current project budget is, and what's the amount left in the project, and what the status is. So that's also attached. And we have provided comments to give like an update of each of those projects. So if you have any questions or comments or answer those or attempt to answer those. Otherwise, I will make the changes for next year to reflect the funding sources.
When's the marquee sign going to go out in front here?
That is, right now it just got approved with the lighting features from the policy. So it's now the contractor has to order the sign. So it takes about 12 weeks for ordering, and then once it's...
We're out till the beginning of next calendar year.
I like the signs out in front of Forest Home Farms. Though somebody needs to change the open to closed on a regular basis. Because there were times when the gates are obviously locked, but the sign says open. So whoever is responsible for that, they need to open and close when it's open or closed.
People that are
working there.
First, yeah. They're probably just not used to
it. It's new for them, I understand. But it's a nice looking sign.
It's nice.
Scott, do you have any?
No, I read through the list and understood. I'm comfortable with what I read.
I'll let the record reflect. Councilmember Perkins is comfortable.
Ah.
Good. That may have been the shortest FERIA discussion we've ever had, by the way, Joe. It only lasted 15 minutes. Did you note that?
I did, but I anticipate a longer one coming. So I'm just trying to balance the two. I figure it'll all even out. And it all
Just get Robin to do all right?
Quarterly investment report. Period ended September 30th. Candace.
Good afternoon. You have before you the quarterly investment report for September 30th, 2017. State law requires that the council review the investment report at least quarterly. FTN is our investment advisor.
This used to be in color when Greg was the city manager. Scott, did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
We can make sure
it's in color
from this point. Maybe
throw
some
3D. It's austere budgeting.
See if we get some 3D.
Excuse me, Candace.
So, as I was saying, our investments are managed by FTN Main Street Advisors. At September 30th, our bank balance at Wells Fargo was $5.7 million, which we use for daily operations. Our total portfolio balance was $70.3 million, which consisted of $36.1 million in federal agency securities, $10 million in treasury securities, $7 million in commercial paper, $8 million in corporate notes, $4.7 million in FDIC-insured CDs, $4 million in supranationals, and $500,000 in municipal bonds. The average yield to maturity on investments is 1.3%, and the weighted average days to maturity is 494, which is 25 days shorter than last quarter.
I like the fact that it's getting shorter because with this long a growth thing, and then we've had two consecutive months in the Bay Area of reducing employment, you're starting to see housing prices soften a little bit, and there's a piece of me that says, I don't want to be deep in the market.
Did market value decrease? Page 35. Got the account summary.
Page
35, 5.3B, page 35. It's a portfolio summary. Lower left here.
Oh, I see.
Where'd the $3 million go?
That's what it looks like, but also we take out money based upon the use of our property taxes. We draw down money to meet our obligations, so
yeah.
Okay. That's what it is.
Thanks.
And then we rebuild it again.
Got it. It's this thing. It's really lumpy.
Okay. Interest rates are 13 basis points higher than previous quarter. The yield to maturity of 1.3% is 19 basis points higher than the late rate, which is 1.11. Our money market at September 30th was $4.3 million, and that's available whenever we need any cash right away. We had $100,000 invested in May, and the investment held with trustees was $1.6 million. Are there any specific questions that you have?
So you said there was $5 million with Wells Fargo and another $4 million here?
Union Bank and our money market, 4.3, which we can get to, at any time that we need cash.
That's a one-day turnaround for something for that?
It's actually, if I request it in the morning, I can get it the same day.
Oh. Okay. Don't know how much time you spent with the general market pages, these pages here in the back. And you got a whole account. This is...
looking for a correction.
Yeah. So regarding the interest rate, the Feds have predicted that there's going to be an interest rate hike by December 31st.
Mm-hmm. Is that the start of that, or is that the start of that?
What page are you on?
I'm looking at page 78, jobless claims. I know that's a general, that's not city specific, but it's things like that. See that in the very far right-hand edge? See that multi-month jump over there?
Yes.
In the right-hand side?
Yes.
Is that the start of a really big peak, or is that the start of a small peak, or is that the extent of that peak? But I also look at, like this consumer confidence on the next page, on 79. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's reaching all-time highs, and not far behind all-time highs in U.S. consumer confidence, we usually have some kind of contraction. It could be a small one, or it could be a big one.
I'm not sure about that. I can get back to you on it.
Yeah. Well, it's just a comment. You see, you look at the home sales. Drop. Is that the start of something?
Interest rates going up.
What's that?
Interest rates going up. Yep. You'd expect to see that drop. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so are you, was it the stock market's predicted seven of the last three recessions? Isn't that what the joke is?
Yeah. I know, it's...
But valid question when you start getting into the frothy top, right?
Yeah.
Local treasury rates. All right. Scott, do you have any?
I look at the summary page that comes with this. You know, if we have a yes in all those columns down there, all the way down, that we're meeting all of our investment goals. And, you know, I honestly spend more time in the economic reports than I do with the page-by-page list of bonds that we own. You know, federal funds rates and yield curves and stuff like that. Thank you for the report.
All right. On to the next thing. Expenditure report. Vivian.
All right, I have some news. Quarter to quarter, we are up by $1 million. However, those are really related to development revenues for civic social projects. We have some decreases in sales tax, property tax, and also.
In fact, if you took out the city center, which accounts for $900,000 in licenses and permits, and $500,000 in zoning and inspection fees.
$1.4 million.
Yeah, $1.4 million. We'd actually be short.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are just one time.
But a bit. That's why the first quarter is never really a good time.
Another good picture, which is why right now we are estimate revenue as budget, because we have only collected 14% of the budgeted revenues.
Right.
So turn to page 99 of your package. The total revenue for all funds was $9.1 million, and that's $1.6 million higher compared to September of 2016. And that's also related to development revenues. So we see $548,000 in development mitigation, $602,000 in traffic improvement. So those two. It's already $1.2 million higher, which was offset by the decrease in gas tax revenues. Also, DEPA fee, which is the share revenue received between the county and the town of Danville, so that will change every year, as well as CIP. So we don't have a lot of expenditures, so we don't have a lot of funding for the CIP, so those are changing. We are estimating 424 higher than the budget, and that was because the traffic improvement budget was lower than what was collected by about $420,000.
Yep.
So all in all, total revenue collected for all funds was 11% of the budget of the budgeted revenues. So if you turn to page 101, which is the expenditure report, the City Council authorized 266.75 FTE, funded 261.75, and we have a current staffing of 248.75. So we have 5 unfunded positions and 13 vacancies. Expenditure year to date was 14.1 million, and when I annualizing it out, we're showing at 18.1 under budget. However, these are cash based because we don't accrue all expenditures at this point. So in summary, we spent 19% of the budgeted expenditures.
Could on the 13 vacant positions, can you give us some, can somebody give us kind of a rundown on how we're doing on filling some of those?
So the HR analyst is a current recruitment that just closed, and I think they got around 80 applications. So they're
Who's that position is that?
It's in administrative services and accounts receivable, human resources.
Okay. Which one was, I forget her name now.
Melissa.
She was the coordinator? No, she was the analyst.
Okay, so that's Melissa. Okay.
And then there's a coordinator that was vacant that she moved out of.
Oh.
So that left that
getting
open.
Into the weeds a little bit here.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm more interested in the POPO with the 6.
There's 4 positions down. There are 4 positions down, the 3 new under recruitment, and one guy didn't make the cut, so.
Okay.
That's where they're at.
And then, are the rest of these posted as advertised positions?
So the network analyst has not been posted yet. I am not sure when that's going to be posted.
Which one is that? Oh, network analyst. Got it.
That's the bottom.
Okay. So the corporal, that's going to be a promotion, I assume. Mm-hmm. Okay. The lieutenant will be a promotion, right? Who's that? What's that position that's vacant? Says one lieutenant is vacant.
He's not a vacant lieutenant.
Yeah, I didn't think that we had a vacant lieutenant position.
There's a reorg, and what is that from the vacancy created by the reorganization?
It must be that, because we're showing that there was somebody. So maybe there's...
So you got 2 captains.
The former lieutenant is a former.
Is that Carlson's promotion vacancy, and you haven't backfilled Carlson's lieutenant spot?
Well, this is not always accurate, the way they lay these out, because if you have a corporal, that means you probably have one more police officer than you do corporal, so because you promote up through the bottom.
Right.
So you may have too many police officers at any given time, mm-hmm. and not enough sergeants, corporals, and lieutenants until the promotions take place. So it just depends on the snapshot in time that this report's pulled that tells you whether or not.
See, he went into total police chief talking 8 different directions.
Worked well, right
there. Wow, that was
no
like, yeah, you got it.
I still got it.
What it shows is there's 87 funded and there's 81 on board in the police. And on this list, there are 6 listed. I guess that's my point. I wanted to know about those 6. Are we?
There's 4 open positions in police officers as we sit today.
Okay.
3 of the ones you approved for last year.
Right.
1 a person didn't make it, and so there's a recruitment going. And 1 was just hired, so there was 5, but there's 4 now.
Okay. This is for end of September, so. Okay,
yeah,
this shows 6 vacancies in police.
Well, it's when you pull the report. So at the time that the report's pulled, it's got that number. But Dan Pratt may have issued a hiring letter, may not have, it just depends. So if you ran the report today, it would be the 4 that are that are vacant right now.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Okay.
I just talked to him, that's why I know. I just talked to him last time. Last Thursday.
So one of them fell out of the system, huh? Didn't?
Yeah.
Was it a background check or?
No, one didn't make field training.
Tough, because you've got a lot invested there.
Yes, a whole lot.
Better to set them adrift than to carry them and find out what a real problem it is, though.
So there's roughly 250 current FTEs. We're almost halfway through the year. Significant savings.
There will be savings. Yeah. The issue with this is if we have the two vacancies in HR.
We are a quarter of the way through there.
Exactly. Quarter of the way.
Well, right.
But we have the two vacancies in HR, which was Melissa and then the coordinator. So, and then we brought a new Stacy left, and then Sarah came on. So that's the hub of hiring, right? So those processes slow down a little bit when you have that type of vacancy in your HRs.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, further questions, Scott? Nah,
nothing to be alarmed about. But the first quarter is always...
At
the halfway mark is much more relevant. We're up to 29
minutes. But the... one other question, page 103.
Yeah, this is the...
Is this the healthcare
Yes, one? This is the healthcare, retiree healthcare trust fund, right?
Yes.
And the last time we did a, the analysis, the...
Actuary
analysis, we needed 24, 25 million, as I recall.
We need 25 million, so based on that actuary, we're 116% funded.
Right. But we're going to do another actuary this spring?
It's going to be done by June 30th.
Okay.
So then we'll see where we are.
Yeah. And we've talked briefly about funding options.
If it's done by June 30th, we can't really make any budgetary decisions based on a June 30 report, can we?
We can make some assumptions and split it for that year, and then the following year maybe remove it, or... It just depends on how, at this funding level anyway, even if there is a actuary that cuts it down, I can't anticipate that it's going to get such to where we just made a huge mistake by not funding this.
Absolutely.
116%.
Yeah, but
we could make that decision if we wanted to like the alternative pension trust fund or some other mechanism. We put the money in that, and then if the actuary comes back, make a decision for the following year to adjust those numbers.
Yep.
But what we normally do once the actuary happens and then we have the new ARC, we normally fund that the next coming fiscal year. Even if we didn't budget exactly that number, we do use the new actuary to go ahead. Because it may be done, if it's done at the beginning of May, for instance, we may have time to change the number in the budget, so that we'll have the current number.
So we have it. We have the number, and if we're fortunate that they come back and say you're good, then we've at least set it aside, but then we can plunk it into something else potentially.
Right. We talked about that 115 trust as a place to, because we did authorize the establishment of the trust, but we didn't fund it.
Correct.
Okay.
We discussed possibly funding it instead of paying the ARC, just using that money to fund it.
I'm sorry, did I jump ahead there?
No, well, that's just the next budget item. It's
okay.
Just the next.
So are we done with 5.4?
Yeah.
Good. Sorry about that.
Yeah, this is
5.5.
Yeah.
So this is as we were discussing with the city.
Okay, there we go.
So.
Too many pages here.
We have $29 million in the trust.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't make any contributions this year based upon conversation we had at the last meeting if we were going to take the ARC and fund the PAR trust. Mm-hmm. So that's why we haven't made any contributions. And we were also discussing reimbursing ourselves for the retiree health expenditures so that we can, pay ourselves back for what we're paying out to PERS.
And
the only reason we didn't start that is because I needed to just verify with the auditors that we didn't have to make the ARC, which we don't.
Okay. And you've since verified with them, or you?
No, I did verify with them, and they said we don't have to do that.
And so we have budgeted the money but have not done anything with it.
Correct.
Okay. Good. Scott, do you have any other questions? That's it?
Thank you. Greg and Jim Livingstone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I was on the finance committee with Jim when we started this, but that was
some foresight.
That was because Greg and Ava and Candace recommended it. There we are. And you talk to your peers, I'm sure, that other finance departments, there's virtually nobody out there that's even 30% funded in their retiree health benefits.
Or 50%.
What's that?
I said, or even 50%.
There's virtually nobody. I talked to somebody at the league.
San Jose, the average was under 25%.
The average is about 25% funded on this. And I told them we were at 105%.
One word, Medicare. That's where people should be.
Well, now, the budget, they just cut $750 billion out of Medicare with the budget that was passed by the Senate. And $500 billion out of, what's the other one,
Medicaid.
Medicaid, $500 billion out of that.
Yeah, because
not going to need it.
Healthcare doesn't produce jobs, you know. It just produces government. It's supposed to giving the Koch brothers $1 billion. That creates jobs.
Yes.
We're done. My editorial comment.